the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Muller-Higgle.
And today we are starting our new series, Real-Time Games. And the first game we're going to be talking about is Dutch Blitz, which is a card game. It's Dutch Blitz has a couple of other games that are very similar to it. I think the Racing Demons is one. There's one called Nerds that I've played. I think there are a couple of other games or other names for these games. But the general idea is it's sort of like multiplayer real-time solitaire. And when I say multiplayer solitaire, I don't mean in the sense of everyone's doing their own thing. I mean literally the classic card game solitaire, but with multiple people. So the way it works is you have 10 cards in a stack, which is called your Blitz pile. And you want to get rid of all of these cards because at the end of the round, any cards that are left in this pile are worth -2 points. You also have 3 face-up cards next to this pile, which are called posts, which you can build off in a sort of solitaire fashion of descending orders. So like you can put a 7 on top of an 8 and then a 6 on top of the 7, but they have to alternate suits, which in this game, the suits are boy and girl, so they have to alternate between those. You also have the rest of your cards in your hand forming a deck. You go through this deck 3 cards at a time, and those cards go into what's called your wood pile. And the main way that you get rid of cards in this game is by playing them into the center of the table in what the game calls Dutch piles. And at the end of each round, any cards that you played in the center are worth 1 point. And the only rule for playing in the center is a pile has to start with a 1. The cards are numbered 1 through 10. And each card has to be 1 higher than the previous. So, you, for example, you put the green 1, then you put the green 2 on top of that. Or I should say anyone puts the green 2 because the thing about the cards in the center is anyone can play onto those piles. So, like, I put my 1, you put your green 2, Charlie puts his green 3, and so on and so forth up until the green 10. And you do several rounds until someone gets to 75 points. I think I mentioned this, but the way scoring works is the cards that you put in the center of the table are worth 1 point each. And the cards that are left over in your Blitz deck, the pile of 10 cards you're trying to get rid of, are worth -2 points each. And the round ends when someone gets through all 10 cards in their Blitz deck.
And for extra clarity, the cards in your deck in your hand, effectively, are not counted negatively towards
right.
you, nor the posts that may have multiple cards on them.
Yes, that's
so
right.
those are like safe spaces that are just zero net 0 points.
Yeah, and that's basically the game. And it is, I think, a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It gets your adrenaline going. And there can be a lot of piles in those Dutch piles. Even with only 3 players, like, there was a lot going on to keep track of. I missed so many opportunities to put things down. Like, holy cow.
Yeah. This one, I was enjoying that there's a couple strategies of, like, do you try to get rid of all your Blitz cards? Or do you just try to get tons of cards in the middle from your hand? And, like, for me, I feel like I'm a little bit slower at like just pure speed games, but I enjoyed being able to like kind of watch like a hawk for when someone was going to play on, you know, to
one you're waiting on.
Yep. One I was waiting on my Blitz pile. Yeah. So I like that. It's not just pure speed. There's a little bit of just like waiting for the right moment.
Well, and if you can move something from your, Blitz pile into the center, that's 3 point difference, right?
Yeah.
Like that's a huge play if you can go directly from there to there. And I was not focusing on that as much. I realized at the end, I was just trying to get things into the middle as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
But that meant I was focusing more on my wood pile, which is not that beneficial. It's only 1 point going from wood pile into the center.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it's this game reminds me of our discussion. I went back and listened to our set episode, and this game reminds me a lot of some of the things we talked about set. And in particular, the way that it plays with your attention. Because yeah. in this game, what you choose to pay attention to is extremely important. And if you play Dutch Blitz a lot, which I have, you can sort of train your attention to focus on multiple things at once. It's really quite amazing how like someone plays a card and you weren't even looking at the card that comes after it, but you know that you have that card in your post and you're just like, yep, just immediately put down that card from your post, even though right now you're going through your deck three cards at a time. Like the things that people who play this game can keep track of all at the same time are just amazing.
Well, and you almost store it more in your subconscious than in your actual like attentive yeah. mind, right? So like you're able to just kind of do that soft focus around you
yeah.
of the areas you're like paying attention to. Because you're not looking at all eight piles or whatever's out there. You're looking at like one or two.
Yeah. It really trains your, I guess, peripheral attention.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I mentioned I've played games like this with a regular deck of cards, and I think this game felt a lot better just because the cards are purely one color. Like, so I don't know if you mentioned, but there's yellow, green, blue, and red.
Yeah.
And you have to match those piles in the center, which is kind of what you can do out of the corner of your eye almost. Of like, oh, there's one red pile. It's at a two right now. So I don't have to think about that for a while. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I can imagine this game getting better and better
as oh, yeah. you
get more skilled and like see these things.
Yeah, it does. It's one of those games where it's a skill that you train, and it's very satisfying to execute that skill effectively. And so it's exhilarating in a way that I'm not sure, like even more than Set maybe.
And I was terrible at Set. Like I got 2 points, I think is what we found out. And then for this game, I did terribly as well because I don't have this trained, this kind of game mechanic. I don't know if anyone played Egyptian Rat Screw before.
Mm-hmm.
I hated that game so much.
I kind of hate it too.
But yeah, but like that, a lot of my friends really loved it, and I'm like, oh, do we have to play that? Just because like that's just a game that I don't click well with. But like this one, I enjoyed a lot more than Set because I could still be successful. I could still get points. I could still do things and interact with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Where Set, I couldn't as much, and that's I think that's why this game I think I like a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point because I think now Egyptian Rat Screw, I don't remember the rules exactly.
I
but
don't either.
There's something about like slapping yeah. the deck when you see something.
Yeah.
And Set is a similar thing of, you know, the first person to get it gets it.
Yeah.
Whereas in this game, I guess one thing that's really different is there is a lot that you can be doing on your
right.
turn.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, okay, in a sense it is the first person to get something gets it in that. Like, okay, we both have a red three that we want to play. The red two comes out. Whoever gets that three out there first gets it. But there's other stuff you can be doing at the same time, right? Like
right.
you can be focusing on your posts and building those out. You can be, you know, just cycling through your deck really fast. Like there's a lot of different things that you can do
yeah.
instead of just one thing that everyone is racing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this also isn't a multiplayer solitaire game, which is such a funny thing to say because it is literally multiplayer solitaire.
Mm-hmm.
But with that joint area in the middle, like you're constantly paying attention to what other people are doing and trying to figure out what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And on the note of like feels bad moments or, oh, someone beat me to that. But there's always the pile is always increasing. So
yeah.
usually even if someone beat you to one number, it sort of helps you because it unlocks the potential for the higher number, which maybe is coming up for you too. So you can still like get something off of, yeah, someone else
oh,
playing
yeah.
on your pile.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think this is giving me my takeaway here.
Ooh, yes.
Which is that racing on multiple fronts is more interesting and more forgiving to players than racing on a single front.
Because if one front isn't working for you, you can switch gears.
That's right.
Yeah.
yeah. So
yeah.
unlike Set, where everyone's, you know, you're racing to get the set, I guess there are maybe different sets you could look for, but generally
yeah.
there's one.
Yeah.
In this game, yeah, you can race for different things at the same time, and so it's not quite as punishing, you know, like we mentioned. So I think that's probably my takeaway for if I'm making a real-time game that's about racing to something, just have different things people can race to at the same time.
Yeah.
If you, I mean, set is a perfect game, so I wouldn't change it. But if we were going to change it,
maybe make it like a Rubik's Cube or something.
Forgiving.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, sorry.
what would you do differently with set if there was like another sub game going on?
Oh,
like,
well,
to merge it with Dutch Blitz.
Yeah.
Merge set with Dutch Blitz. Now that's an idea. I mean, so set doesn't have like
set Blitz.
So okay, one thing Dutch Blitz has that's pretty cool is the post piles, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, this is a bit different. So Racing Demons is what I played as a kid, which is very similar to this, but a little bit different. And the biggest difference between Racing Demons and this, I think, is the post piles. In that you can, in this game, you can build off the post piles, mm-hmm. like going 8, 7, 6, 5, and use that to get cards out of your Blitz pile. But in Racing Demons, you can't do that. You have the face-up cards still, and you're still trying to put them out so you can get cards out of
your negative pile or whatever.
Your negative pile.
Yeah.
But you can't build them off of the other cards that are there. And actually, I think this is important for two reasons. One is that it's just your own area, your own private area where you can do stuff to get ahead, which Charlie, in one of the rounds, did very effectively. Like,
oh, yeah.
He just built a ton of stuff off of his posts and gave both of us big negative point swings that way.
But, a negative 18, I think I got on that one.
Yeah, but the other thing I've realized that this does effective, which is very important for this type of game, is it gives you a way to compensate for drawing a bunch of high numbers.
Yes.
Because in Racing Demons, if the cards you're trying to get rid of are mostly high numbers, you have to wait until very late to get rid of them.
Sure.
But in this game, if your cards are mostly high numbers, it's harder to put them out in the middle of the board, but it's easier to build them off your post because the posts are built in descending order, high to low.
Right.
So the middle of the board is low to high, the posts are high to low. And so either way, you have a way to get rid of your cards.
Strangely, not unlike The Game, which was when we were talking about doing for a different series. But yeah, like it's really nice having those two directions you can go and having, again, your own space that you manipulate yourself.
Yeah.
And a joint space. Having the two together, I think, is really huge.
Right. So I guess go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well,
bring it back.
Bringing it back to the idea of combining this with set, I would say set, but you have your own area, or maybe you're trying to make your own little sets, or maybe you get rid of cards by making sets. So like Dutch Blitz, but you, instead of playing cards, you have set cards, and then you can combine them with cards in the middle to make sets.
In order to play, you have to make a set when you play a card.
Yeah,
and then your card is in the middle, and that's once recorded as a point.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Dutch Blitz?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
I think it would actually be a pretty good mashup.
Fascinating.
All right, let's play it.
All right. We'll just grab a set deck and just paint all the backs different colors.
I think the only tricky part is, set, especially if you're new players, you really have to verify sets.
Right.
Oh,
That's a big problem.
And
yeah, yeah. Well, it already is internally.
Kind of a problem of real-time games in general is like, we're often doing stuff in our own area, and like, I don't know, sometimes, I mean, Trevor missed it. I may have missed it at some point, like, oh, I forgot to do boy, girl in my piles.
Yeah.
You know, there's different things sometimes. Yeah, but that's unavoidable. Sometimes that just happens. People accidentally cheat.
Oh, yeah.
And
accidental cheating is the hardest thing because, like, it's not, you know, intentional. It's not, you know, fraud. Effectively, but like it also makes the game like, well, it's not technically fair, but you're also inexperienced, so that makes it unfair as well. So
And it's a bigger problem in competitive games and co-op games because
in
co-op games, if someone cheats accidentally, that's fine because
we'll ignore it. We'll just keep
I mean, it's co-op, so it just means the game is a little bit harder or easier for everyone.
Right.
But then in a competitive game, it's like, okay, well, you also have an edge because you
cheated. Especially if the points end up closer, too. Then it's like, hey, if you didn't get that.
I just had a playtest yesterday where someone accidentally cheated for the entire game and I didn't catch it.
Oh, my God.
And it's like one of the game I'm developing for someone else, and it's like, I'm tempted to say we really need to change the core rule so that, because it's not intuitive
tough.
A certain way, but it's also like part of the puzzle, so it's tough. But if I missed explaining that and I missed catching that he was playing wrong the whole time, it's like, that's a sign.
Yeah.
And I think this is also an area where, so I guess drawing a slight distinction between real-time games and, you know, previously we talked about pattern recognition games, which are kind of, I would say, a subset of real-time games. The main difference being pattern recognition games are real-time games where it mostly takes place in your head.
Yeah.
Whereas in Dutch Blitz, it doesn't, I mean, some of it is in your head, obviously, but there's also a huge component of moving things around.
It's much more your awareness than
right.
internal figuring out something.
Yeah. Right. But when it comes to accidental cheating, one advantage that pattern recognition games have is that, you know, when you're verifying that someone matched the pattern, that you can make sure they don't accidentally cheat. And if they do accidentally cheat, then they're wrong and everybody sees that. Whereas with real-time games like Dutch Blitz, where you're manipulating things in real time, there's really no way to verify it, or at least not to the same degree as you can with pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of have to trust that people are doing things right.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Well, and I would always say you should trust the people you're playing games with. Otherwise, don't play games with them.
Yeah.
Because you'll just be frustrated in the end.
Yeah. Well, sorry. When I say trust, I don't mean that
right.
they're deliberately making mistakes.
Sure.
I mean,
they're following the rules correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So takeaway for me, I really want to bounce off of some of the intuitive design with this one. I saw that, you know, I came to the game, saw that there are four different piles that have different backs. It's like, okay, that's interesting. And I found out one is assigned to me. I'm like, oh. So this is mine. Oh, it'd be really cool if, like, we had something in the middle and I would score those points.
Yeah.
And then when you're explaining the rules, I'm like, oh, I should mention this, but I'll just wait and see how it works. Like, oh, it's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
And so I just really appreciated that, like, in a game that feels a lot like Solitaire, it is highly interactive and you're scoring points in the middle of something where everyone's pitching in for something. And I know some people have been talking about this in their designs recently, too, where you have something that is in a joint space that can be tallied later. Because trying to, like... Okay, I put a point in. I gained 1 point around the point tracker. And like that just gets so messy, especially in a real-time game. So having it where you can come back and figure out what you had done during a real-time, I think is a really good thing to have.
And me misinterpreting that rule made me think of another fun game that could happen where it's like, I thought that, you know, we start the pile and it's our pile.
Oh,
and we convince other people to play onto our piles.
Almost like a trap element to
it. Yeah. Like, oh, you forgot. That's my one pile. Uh-huh. And now it...
So you claim the bottom, right? That's what you're saying.
It's
like, this is my one, so everything on top of it is somehow partly mine.
I don't think it would be a good rule for this game.
Probably not for this game. But it's a
like
cool...
That, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and like Lords of Waterdeep... has a similar thing where you can build buildings for the worker placement stuff and you get money for that when people use your building. And so just having those kind of little side mechanics are really, really nice and really invest
people. Lahav has something similar too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's just a nice little side benefit. So I think that there's a lot of room for that, especially in a real time game, because you don't have time to really analyze that as much. But if you're starting to get really concerned about how many cards are building up in someone's empire, it's like, oh, God, I need to focus on these other people. Okay. I could definitely see that being fun.
Mm-hmm. So I think my takeaway, I sort of mentioned it, but I like that this game, it rewards speed, but not 100% just speed is the best strategy. Like, I think sometimes there are reasons to wait and... I like that. I don't know that I would enjoy it as much if it was just how fast can you do this thing.
Yeah, I am not a fan of pure speed games, but games where you can still like figure it out and improve and not just be like sat back, like checked out. Like I was still very much engaged despite the fact that I came out with negative 13 points in the end. In a race to 75, positive 75 points, got to negative 13.
Yep. But you still made progress. You didn't get negative 20, which is
the
very worst you could possibly do, I guess.
In one round. And that's actually another thing I really appreciate is that you're playing multiple rounds. And I kind of want to piggyback on the idea we were just talking about just for fun. I love the idea of the game minorly changing each round you play. So like this one's pure point based, very simple. But if you just up the complexity just a little bit and something happens based off of how you played in the last round and it shifts the mechanics a little bit. I think that would be a really interesting way to go about this real-time mechanic.
Sort of like a legacy version of this, except
a micro-legacy. Yeah. Yeah, like over like 5-6 plays that you can play in under an hour, half an hour. Just have a little shift each round.
Well, and maybe a catch-up mechanic.
Maybe a catch-up mechanic.
Which the game does not have.
Oh, of course not. Although there was a round where I drew 3 or 4 perfect starting cards and then still could not finish my blitz pile. Yeah. I was very bummed.
Which but it could be a fun game for that, where there's whoever
you get to remove 3 tens from your pile.
Sure, yeah. Or something as simple as like the player who's in last has less less cards in their blitz pile.
Right.
Or Ananda's got an idea.
Well, no, what you said just made me think of sort of like a Balatro like
variant
of the game where you modify your deck in between rounds.
And Balatro is a video game based on deck building poker,
which is very good.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And very quirky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played it, but heard a lot about it.
I only played it one day, but I played it for like a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess my simple fix would be the player who gained a lot of points has a bigger blitz pile, so they'll be less likely to go out first.
That's interesting.
But maybe there's another benefit to having a big blitz pile. I don't know.
No, you don't want a big blitz pile. That's just pure
bad. It's just bad.
You get an extra post.
An extra post.
Oh,
sure.
Bigger blitz pile and an extra post. Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
It's more to manage, but
they can probably handle it.
They can probably handle it, yeah.
I can definitely see taking this very simple game and adding that sort of power with trade-offs over time. Like,
oh sure,
your blitz pile increases, but you get another post.
Mm-hmm.
Remove all fives from your deck. Is that good? Is that bad?
I don't know. It's
middle of the poof.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Was this an old game? It feels like it's an old classic game.
Like, you could play it with 2 decks of cards, just about.
Well, let's see. This is copyright 2014.
That's what I was looking at earlier.
The rules, the way that they're written, makes it feel pretty old. But also, I think it's... I don't know exactly which game is based on which, but I do know that I was definitely playing Racing Demons before 2014. So... The general mechanics of this game probably go back quite a ways, but I don't know what the origin is. Although, obviously, Solitaire is a pretty good candidate for the origin.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, take Solitaire and then make it multiplayer, right?
Sure.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if it's super old. It looks like even just the art itself makes it look like it's from the 90s or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but the name makes me think it was invented in, 1700s.
Oh yeah, just like Hawaiian pizza was invented in Canada.
It definitely has the vibe of a game that could have been invented in the 1700s.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's... Oh, we're going to...
Are you going to look it up?
Let's see.
What does it say?
It says 1960 on Board Game
Geek. 1960.
1960.
Okay, so maybe that's this edition. This edition is 2014.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
1960.
Okay. I ask because I'm like, maybe this is like in the public domain that it could be ripe for
you could play with it.
Expansion or legacy version or something like whatever
Dutch
campaign
Blitz,
version.
Dutch Blitz Legacy.
Power Dutch Blitz.
I mean,
is there a real time legacy game?
I don't know.
Oh my god, I hope there should be.
Maybe there should be.
We could do this.
All right. Okay. Well,
that sounds like
don't steal this idea
material.
Okay. Or you can steal this idea.
You
and
can
play
steal
with
this
it.
Idea and okay. Well, I think I'm good on Dutch Blitz. You guys, any last thoughts?
I'm doing my hardest to not sing copyrighted material right now. So
I guess I'll just finish with. It's a great game, really exhilarating, great real-time game. Definitely recommend it.
All right. Till next time, when we play Magic Maze.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.